It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome, you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, this is the Independence Day version. We won't be talking to you again until after the 4th of July, so we thought we'd fire it up. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, buddy. It's a crazy world out there right now. The weather, the fires, and all the silly things that are going on. The storms are just, tornadoes in late June. That doesn't happen.
Torrential rains in the Midwest.
Flooding all over.
Right.
Roads getting washed out.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world.
Right. And, I don't know. I don't read the history books probably like I should, but I'm sure this is a repeat of at some point in the past. But I think some of this stuff is man-made and some of it is cyclical.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if there's a power bigger than God that could change the weather, but maybe there is. So who
Ooh,
knows?
Watch
who knows?
It. Watch it.
Right.
You didn't mean that.
What I'm saying is that this conspiracy theory says they're cloud seeding and doing all kinds of stuff to change our weather. And I'm like, I'm on that side of God where it's like, no, he's got this. And
happening. There's a reason that they're finding all this barium on everything is because this cloud seeding that they do is releasing aluminum and barium. I have no idea what the benefit's supposed to be. But I know that, if you go from St. Louis down to the Delta, that whole aquifer is the problem they have with their water is barium now. And I don't know what's been going on. I can't say that was all cloud seeding, but I do know that there are plenty of people online complaining about the, what do they call them? The sprayers, the planes, the
crop dusters?
No, something. I don't know. There's a term for it, but
right. Chemtrails.
Chemtrails. Yeah. And, when you see, I've seen it. I've already seen it. It's like, I know what a contrail is, and the contrails don't last for 2 hours.
Right.
They dissipate within 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, the weather is crazy, but I'll tell you what is happening is, things are growing like mad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect growing season?
Oh, my gosh. Because we're getting a decent amount of rain, at least in West Michigan. And, I went out to pick lettuce this morning, and I've got more lettuce than I could possibly eat.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just like going nuts.
Cool.
So I planted
salads. Salads at Bob's place.
That's what I've been doing.
Right.
Grill me up a salad, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, there's a recipe there, Conrad. Careful what you ask for. Yeah.
That's Randy's gig.
He's growing romaine too, so we got it.
Yeah. I am.
I know.
I am.
I saw your garden. Yep. It's cool.
Yeah. But also some of the fruit markets and vegetable stands are starting to open. And
yeah, the fruit right now, I've done a couple catering gigs, and one of them wanted a big bowl of fruit. And I was struggling getting good fruit right now. It didn't seem like it was, pineapple was a little funky. And
you got to buy those early.
Yeah. And so when it was, grapes and melons, and what's up with a $7 or $8 watermelon, man? I'm like,
it isn't good enough for me to pay that.
I know. But
pineapple from Costa Rica is where that's coming in from.
Yeah.
So,
yep. It's crazy.
And I'm okay
right
with
now.
That. I grew up on Hawaiian pineapple in Hawaii, but I buy the pineapple every few days, and they're always green.
Yeah.
So you have to ripen them a little bit. Now, the best way to ripen a pineapple is to turn it upside down because the bottom ripens first, and that sweet sugar runs down to the top. What my kids were happy to tell me is that's a sign that you're a swinger when you have your pineapples upside down on the counter.
Nice.
So
nice.
Not on the counter. That one's on the door, on the wall of your house.
It's like, who comes up with this stuff?
Right. It's the door of the cabin during your special singles cruise is what that is.
Yeah,
or swapping cruise.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. The last one you were on, Conrad. That's all right.
Yeah. Never gonna
it was
do
a mail trip.
Right. So back to the pineapple. Do you obviously cut the top off it then before you turn it upside down,
no,
or it wouldn't stand?
No. You leave the stem on it and you kind of smack it on the counter a little bit so it cracks that top and it makes a nice little set of legs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a technique.
Yeah, it must be.
There's a method to my madness, and there's definitely
madness.
I don't
see that happening at my house.
Well, pineapple is rich with vitamin C.
Oh, yeah. We have pineapple in the house all the time, but I've never turned it upside down to ripen.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. Well,
tip of the day right there.
There you go. If you do that, you'll have somewhat of a even ripening.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yep. Do you have one of those little tools that you screw down through it and it cuts the circles and takes the core out?
No, I wish I did, though.
Yeah.
That'd be a great idea.
Lisa just brought one of those home, like, in the last couple of weeks, and it just you whack the top off the so it's just flat, and you put this thing in, and you just start screwing, and it cuts a ring all the way down, and the core is inside of a little center, and you pull it back out, you got the core, and there's rings.
In Florida, they had a thing where you could actually do it at the where you bought the pineapple, and you could core it professionally.
It's like
right?
a bottle opener, like a wine corker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen those. Yeah.
Cool.
You got to do a lot of pineapple to justify that baby mounted.
Right. Yeah, they're selling a lot of pineapple.
Well, I'm reading like mad on health stuff after all the stuff we've gone through, and I was just telling you about the apricot seeds, the amygdalin, how it's such a like almost a 100% cure on cancers, and it's been known for a long time, but it's finally coming out. Well, another article I was reading was saying
big run on apricots right now. Then,
well, there's a community in Pakistan that is growing a lot of apricots, and there's pictures of these guys. They eat like 2 to 3 pounds of apricot seeds a day. These people are living to 140, 150 years.
That's way beyond and my, they look I'm going to run out of money
they
before
look
I
fantastic.
Run out of apricot seeds.
Not if you're selling apricot seeds.
Right,
you
yeah. Must they, how are their teeth doing if they're eating apricot seeds?
Probably good.
Yeah?
So my point about that is...
Wow, we're everywhere today.
Pineapple... That,
all over the road.
That right. core on the pineapple is real hard.
Yeah.
But there's apparently a very healthy ingredient in that, and there are people that are... turning that into slushies, and I can't remember what the benefit was, but I'm sure it makes your
pineapple core slushies. Wow, we're everywhere. We are everywhere today.
Isn't it the Apple Core Lounge, and then the pineapple, which was an old bar we used to go to back in the day?
Really?
So, yeah, Apple Core Lounge towards Shelbyville. Yeah.
I've heard of it. Never been there.
Yeah.
Did you ever the pineapples right side up there?
Yeah. All of them were. Yeah.
So anyway, the weather's great for gardening, and I just so happen to have planted a fairly decent amount of vegetables this year, and I'm quite excited.
That's
my
cool.
My grapevines are just shooting like mad. I can't trim them back fast enough. And
you know, I had an observation. We'll go on down another rabbit trail here.
What rabbit hole?
I did a catering this week, and they had 50 adults and 20 kids. Right, so that's 70 people, and I usually do about half amount of food for the kids as I do for the adults, right? But I just think people are eating less. Maybe it's a sign of the cost of things, or maybe people are more health conscious. But I made, you've done this, I've done this. You know about how much food you need to make for 50 adults and 20 kids, right? I had half of everything left. They just didn't eat.
Well, maybe you're making too much.
No, it really wasn't, because I know that I make a pan of mac and cheese, and there's 12 to 15 servings in there. I made 4. I had 2 of them left. And same thing with the cheesy potatoes, same side of pan.
Well,
I would say
on the mac and cheese and the cheesy potatoes, people are definitely moving towards the keto diet more.
Yeah,
so
they chose.
Guys like me, I don't take that stuff.
Yep.
No.
But even, 3 pork butts. Is what I did. That they average around 10 pounds a piece. So it's 30 pounds raw. You get about 25 maybe when you're done for 60 people. That's there was well over half of that left.
Maybe it just didn't taste good.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, that could have been it right there. But no, it was just everybody, and then I made skinless, boneless chicken thighs. They usually go good.
Okay, look at the demographics
left.
Though.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Yeah.
What was the crowd?
Yeah, it was families. I mean, it was a company picnic is what it was.
But were these upper income healthy people?
I don't know. I mean, it was a cross section. They were all accountants.
There you go. So yeah. If you go to an event with a bunch of Bubbas, that pork would have been. They'd have been licking.
There weren't a lot of Bubbas.
They'd have been
too,
licking the pan.
I resent the Bubbas.
Yeah. Right. But no. So anyway, but it was just, you know, you try to do what you can do. All right. Coming up next, Bob's got a little history lesson for us for the 4th of July. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat, dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, you're lucky. That first segment was all over the world and the road.
If there had been a cop behind us, he would have pulled us over.
That's
but,
right.
But you're even luckier you don't listen in between the segments.
Yeah.
Because there's colon talk.
Right. With your apricot seed. So we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, Bob, I see on the show plan. Let's follow that for a second.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You've got a little history lesson here with George Washington and chicken fricassee. So I'm wondering how those go together.
You know, have you ever been to Washington, D.C. and done the tourist thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely. You go down to what they call Old Town or what do they call that? Main Street?
No, never been there.
Yeah. There's an area of D.C. and I took my daughter Olivia there after I did.
Old Town is right by the White House, isn't it?
I did. It is the White House. We did that one of those Vermeil gigs where I brought Olivia out. And so we spent the day there and then we went on to the aquarium across the river in New Jersey. And for lunch, we went to this place called, I think it's called the Main Street Pub. And everything is 1600s. Everything they wear, the entire menu. And Olivia was like, I don't know, 14, 15. She was kind of rolling her eyes at first because she's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible. Well, they had Thomas Jefferson and George Washington's two beers on tap, their recipes. And those boys knew how to brew beer, apparently, because it was really, really good. And then they had the entire menu, which I don't know. What would you think it'd be, Conrad, if you had
like
to go
grouse
back then?
Or something like that?
Lots of root vegetables. You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. The birds were huge. And they're, you know, I believe it was Ben Franklin, his favorite bird was turkey, to the point where he wanted to make that our national bird instead of the eagle.
Yeah, I heard that. Yep.
That would have ruined every Thanksgiving.
Oh, well,
we'd be eating eagles.
Pilgrims didn't bring eagles over on the boat. They brought turkeys, right? Yeah. So.
No, I think they were here.
Right. I don't know, man. You know.
Hey, it's my history lesson.
Okay.
Let me write it.
Right.
I don't know that. But I know the Spaniards brought the horses.
Okay. Yeah.
When the conquistadors came in.
Right.
But the Native Americans loved them.
So is the punchline a chicken fricassee
recipe here?
Is there
a lesson
here?
One of the things I found that George Washington, that his wife used to make for him, one of his favorite dishes, was chicken fricassee.
Conrad, are you related to him?
George Washington?
His wife makes some stuff on the grill?
Well, George was busy trying to create a country.
Govern, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he had horrible teeth.
Yeah, wooden ones at the end.
He had to because, you know, they didn't have dentures.
Right.
Especially didn't have them where you could buy them
online. I wonder
what kind
of wood that was, man. I hope it wasn't something bitter.
Are you done?
I am.
Well, chicken fricassee is one of those things I was playing with a few months ago. I don't know if you remember me telling you how great that chicken dish was that I made where I did the wine sauce and the cream and all that.
Is that the one that didn't turn out? I thought you called that frickin' chicken.
No, fricassee. No.
Okay,
no.
I'm with you.
Oh, man.
No, but this is one of our favorite meats. It's a bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs. And you basically, what you do is you sauté those. You know, you take the chicken and you pat them dry.
Mm-hmm.
You season them with salt and pepper, coat them with a little bit of flour, and then you you put them into a skillet or a hold it Dutch oven.
Okay, both work.
Skin side down first, and you get a nice browning on them.
Mm-hmm. So a pretty hot skillet then.
Yep.
Yep.
And then you you basically, what do you call it when you freshen up a pan with wine?
Deglazing.
You deglaze it.
Yep.
And then you start throwing in all your ingredients, which is chicken broth, it's mushrooms, garlic. And there's an order you do this in. And you saute the mushrooms and vegetables first. Then you add the butter and the mushrooms to the pan and let them cook down relatively undisturbed, it says. And I stole this recipe. It's not mine. And then you toss it. And you let it cook until they've shrunken to about half the original size. And the mushroom's a great indicator of that. As you know, you've sautéed your share of mushrooms.
Right.
So a lot of these vegetables have their own built-in indicators. Yeah. You know, you can tell when you've done your job, the onions are translucent, the mushrooms have shrunken. You've all seen your mushrooms shrink before.
God, don't I know that.
And then you pour in chicken broth, and I'll post this recipe. Thyme sprigs, which I love. I grow a lot of thyme. And then you cook it until the chicken is done. It's going to take about another 15 or 20 minutes. And
How do you know it's done? It's
something we use your thermal pen, of course.
Right, exactly.
And I would bring those thighs to 180.
Right.
This recipe calls for 165. We all know that thighs, the longer you leave them in, the better they are.
Right. You don't want any, and you want to get that blood right away from the bone. The worst thing you do is when you've got this beautiful piece of meat you made, and then you first cut, you run a knife right by the bone, and it's bloody in there. Just go a little warmer. The thigh will take it.
So if you do this right, you've browned your thighs, and then you've pulled them out, and you do all your vegetables when you do your deglazing and all this stuff. You get all this stuff simmering. You set your thighs on top, and you pour in your chicken stock, and you let that simmer for, I'm going to say it's going to take a half hour, but I haven't done quite this recipe before.
You're trying to cook it down a little bit.
You're trying to cook the chicken, period,
yeah.
And then let the chicken broth do its work and magic with all the vegetables. Right at the end, then you pour the cream in, like around the chicken. You pour it into the bottom, and you just sort of scrape the bottom of the pan a little bit, and don't disturb it. And you'll see it'll want to blend easily. It's a wonderful combination with that white wine. I mean, it's one of my favorite au jus or gravies. And you basically put the lid on, shut it off. You're done.
Yep,
you're done.
The lid on your Dutch oven.
Yeah,
Dutch
and you
oven,
can
yeah.
leave the lid off if you want it thicker. You can put the lid on if you just want to keep it warm as long as possible, depending on your serving. But that is George Washington's favorite dish.
Yeah. Easy to chew with wooden teeth because everything's nice and soft and done, yeah.
And that man knew a little bit about Independence Day. And
sure he did.
We're going to celebrate Independence Day here in a few days. And I love to talk about what was going on in the 1770s and 80s.
Yep.
And try and get people to actually think about the reason we celebrate it instead of just, you know, what franks they're going to put on the grill.
Yeah, well, that's important, too. But that's a result of all the work and history that goes into this.
Those founding fathers were all really wealthy men.
Yeah.
They all died, were either executed or died of old age broke.
Yeah.
They gave up their fortunes.
to lead the country.
Unlike the people that go to Washington now, they leave with a fortune.
Yeah.
And that's going to change. We're changing that.
Yeah.
We're putting an end to it. It's going to happen real soon. You're going to see.
Yeah, it is an election season, and I don't know about you, but I'm already tired of all the ads, and your mailbox is full of stuff, and it's just like, ugh. I mean, I admire people that want to take that on and be part of that.
Yeah,
but
the few truth tellers you see, they just float to the top. I see this guy named Thomas Massey from Kentucky, and I did a deep dive into him. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
He lives on, you know, he bought 40 acres, he built his house, he's just, you know, one of those wholesome guys raising his family, and that's a guy to keep your eye on.
Coming up next, we've got a new partner on the show, the Wealthy Street Bakery and the Hall Street Bakery, and we've got the proprietor, Andy Havemeyer, coming up next. You're going to want to listen in on this because this is much more than a bakery. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes the T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wow, we've been all over the Constitution and John Adams and all these other people. But right now we're going back, we're going local to Grand Rapids. We have a new partner on the radio show, the Hall Street Bakery and the Wealthy Street Bakery. And we have the proprietor on the line right now, Andy Havemeyer. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So, Andy, you are running a couple bakeries/restaurants/ now I think you're serving alcohol too. So
yeah.
I just want our listeners to learn about your businesses, where they are, what you do, what your menus look like, because I think it's a West Michigan treasure, and I'm not sure everybody knows a lot about it.
Yeah, sure. So we have two locations. We have the Wealthy Street Bakery location, and that's been around since 2002. That's on Wealthy Street, obviously, kind of right by college, I guess would be the closest.
Just a coincidence.
Major intersection.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we have the Hall Street Bakery location, and that's on the corner of Hall and Fuller, and that one's been around since 2014. So, we do everything fresh in-house, all of our baked goods, bake fresh every single day, and then we have a full menu, too, of sandwiches, pizzas, salads. We have a big brick lined oven at each location that we do pizzas in, and they're pretty phenomenal, as well as a liquor license at both locations. So we serve beer and wine at both locations as well.
So you are the quintessential entrepreneur because you guys open at like 6 a.m. and you're open till about what, 9 or 10 at night?
Yeah, 9 at night. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Well, it's only right that you would serve beer because that's liquid bread.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you got to get your carbs one way or another.
Yeah. So, Andy, I have since we've started working together here, I've been in your shop at Wealthy Street three or four different times, and boy, when you walk in, the smell of the fresh baked goods is just overwhelming. It's so wonderful, and I've been bringing you made some special rolls for me. You had a focaccia bread that you make. Describe that a little bit.
Yeah, so focaccia bread is kind of an olive oil based bread. We do them in store and have them every day. That's a little bit larger than what we do for you, and we do a little bit smaller ones for you, like a slider type size. But we do the rolls in the focaccia bread like that, and then we also do a large loaf that's tomato basil focaccia. So it's got fresh mozzarella, tomatoes, basil, some onion. And it's kind of like a pizza without cheese, but that one's pretty wild. That is a pretty amazing product.
That almost sounds like a sausage roll that they make in Detroit.
Yeah, I've heard of those. I still haven't had one yet, but I have heard tales of those for sure.
All right, I'm going to bring you some back next time I go to the Livonia Bakery. They're fantastic, and you know it might be something for you. But I did have one of those. Randy had some left over, and he gave me a few of those focaccia rolls, and they were fantastic. I'm hoarding them. Yes. They're in my freezer, but I'm going to come down and meet you and get some more.
Yeah, we'll.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, Andy, they're a little more dense of a bread, and when he made them into that slider size for me, we're using pulled pork. Using those for pulled pork sandwiches. And, you know, pulled pork, if it's done right, always has a little bit of juice on it because you want it moist, right? But that roll holds up to that moisture, but it's such a great bite.
We actually used them for the porchetta.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And there was a lot of juice.
Right.
And that's what I noticed, too, is that beautiful crust allowed your guest, because you don't want to embarrass your guest, especially at a swanky event like that was, where it's people after work in business attire. You want them to be able to hold something without taking it home on their shirt,
right?
Or blouse.
Right.
And
we've actually used them for soup bowls before.
Nice.
We're looking more into that for the to be able to do it on our normal menu for the fall and stuff coming up. But yeah, the crust on there holds up well, and then the inside soak it all up perfectly. So
Andy, tell us a little bit about your menu, because I think people will be surprised that when you walk into a bakery, it's so diverse.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things is the our breakfast sandwiches. We do it on any kind of bread you want, but my favorite is ciabatta, which is kind of like a English muffin type bread almost. Mm-hmm. We have this great onion jam that we do on a couple of breakfast sandwiches. So egg, bacon, onion jam, cheese. Those are pretty wild.
God, that sounds great.
And then but we serve everything all day long. And then just a full lineup of sandwiches, either toasted or not, your basic deli sandwiches, all the way up to like a salmon pesto sandwich. Or we have a braised beef sandwich where we braise beef shoulder, and it gets served with au jus and arugula and all that kind of stuff. Mm.
You've got to be hopping busy. These people in those two markets you're in, I know your demos. I mean, those people have to absolutely love you.
Yeah, no, so people ask, you know, kind of about what's the success of the business, and this might be oversimplifying it, but with both of our menu and our hours, it's like cover your bases, you know? We're open early, we're open late, so if we have a slow morning, we have a busy night, or we have opposites. And if somebody comes in and they like pastries, perfect. We have all those fresh every single day, and that's still our main breadwinner, for lack of a better term. But if you're here for lunch or dinner, we've got you covered there too, and that's kind of where the alcohol comes in too. So if you want to have our pizzas are just phenomenal. I know we gave you guys some pizza dough.
Oh, the dough was fabulous. And you know what? We, at the end of that event, when you gave me a bunch of doughs, we made a bunch of pizzas. Everybody loved them. But at the end, we just used the dough and put a little garlic, olive oil, and salt on it.
Oh, yeah.
And cooked that up and made little like bread knots and served marinara to dip it in. Oh, man, things went like hotcakes or hot bread. As it may be.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah. We make the dough fresh every single day. So that's, fresh dough. And, it is phenomenal. So at both locations, the hall oven, as far as the brick lined oven, is a little bit smaller, but the Wealthy Street brick lined oven, I mean, it's 15 by 20.
Yeah. I was going to say you could camp inside that thing. It's huge.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But, so I have a little bit of not a little bit. My whole life has pretty much been dedicated to this type of industry. My family owns Herman's Boy up in Rockford, which I know you guys have worked with before.
Sure, yep.
And, I used to run the smokehouse there as well, too. So we're always trying to think of some new stuff, and we have some experience and some of that stuff. So
yeah, you do.
Menu isn't, like, constantly changing, but we have ideas, and it's just getting the time, the bandwidth, and the manpower ready to attack some of these things.
Very good. Say, I was in there picking up some rolls from you for an event this week, and I had a croissant that you had cooked ham and cheese inside of the croissant. So you picked it up, and it looked like a croissant. It's like, oh, this looks really good. And you take a bite of it, and there was baked in ham and cheese inside the croissant. Unbelievable.
Yeah, those are one of our best-selling items. Still, like the old standby, like our cranberry almond scone is probably our best-selling item.
I believe that.
But those ham and cheese are really close. I don't think people quite understand the scope of like you said, of what we do here, both in menu offerings and hours. But between the two locations, we have close to 27,000 people through the door every month.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're going to make sure we get you. We've got on the grillingguys.com, there's a spot on the right where all of our sponsors go. And we want to post a link to your bakeries there. And so people can click on and go right to your menu and right to your shop. But there's also, of course, we've got all our other sponsors there, Garrett's, and Old World Olive Company.
Andy, can you tell everybody where you're at again? We got to wrap up here.
Yeah, so the Hall Street location is right on the corner of Hall and Fuller. And the Wealthy Street Bakery location is it's actually on the corner of Wealthy and Union. So it's on Wealthy right in between Eastern and College.
Yep, very good.
That's awesome.
Well, Andy, we're proud to be affiliated with you guys. I know that we're going to become fast friends, because when anybody produces high-quality food like you do, you are fit right in with the Grilling Guys mode. And we appreciate your partnership. And we'll be talking to you several times throughout the year.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, you guys. We really appreciate it.
All right, sir.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get back to this national heritage and talk about Ben Franklin roasting his happy bird. Your list, the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back, Yarlis. The Grilling Guys. Got Andy from the Wealthy Street Bakery and
Hall Street.
Hall Street. Thank you. Bakery. What a great business that guy's got going, and it's just nice to talk to him. And appreciate
his baked goods are just fantastic.
Oh yeah, second.
You know, we all get used to going into the supermarket to buy bread. A bunch of dopes we've been.
Don't if you've got the time, get by one of these local bakeries.
We have a rule in our house: don't bring bread home if it has colored ink on the wrapper.
Yeah, right. Because everything out of a bakery is a clear.
That's commercial. Right. And a real bakery will just put it in a paper bag.
Right, or a plastic bag or whatever it is. But anyway, so we're talking. You had some patriotic stuff going on throughout this show, a little thread. And John Adams is one of the – was he a beer maker?
The Adams family.
The Adams family?
Well, I believe it was his brother that made the Boston beer.
Right. Yep,
I don't know. There's a great book called The Adams Family.
Yeah,
and I have it. If you want to read
Morticia
it,
and all that stuff.
I have it. If you'd like to ever read it, and learn something.
Yeah, it's probably not.
They were interesting. Yeah. They didn't get along always at all, as a lot of the founding fathers did not. You know, they had a lot of varying. They had knockdown, dragouts, fights in Independence Hall when they were trying to figure out what we were going to be.
Right,
and. The famous quote from Ben Franklin, when the woman came out and said, "Did you give us a country?" And he said, "We gave you a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it."
Yeah.
And boy, aren't we seeing it now.
Right.
Anyway, the national bird is the turkey. And we do love our turkey.
Right.
That's just you don't have to always do it the same way for Thanksgiving.
Right.
You could actually get a small one for Independence Day. Spatchcock it and grill it.
Right.
And it's
fabulous way to do it.
Yeah, do an authentic 1776 meal. I'm not saying they were spatchcocking, but you could at least have
right.
You wouldn't be cocking off.
Exactly. Spatchcocking is you take the backbone out of the bird and lay it flat on the grill. Season both sides, put some oil on it, get some seasoning to stick. And then I started out with the inside down. That would be the breast up. And you lay the legs out on the back flat. They kind of splay out to each side. And the turkey is flatter on your grill. And cooking on the inside, and I do these on a smoker. The big green egg is perfect for spatchcocking a turkey. And you got what's called a plate setter, or it's just a something inside the grill that divides the heat so you're not directly over the heat of the charcoal. It just dissipates it around the sides. And that big green egg creates like a convection oven.
Yeah.
Inside.
Or a Primo.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, an American
made product. Right. So there's a variety of they're called Kamado grills if you've got one, the big ceramic grills.
Yeah. Matter of fact, on my trailer, if you look in the parking lot, I'm headed up to my son Alex's house.
Okay.
And I'm bringing him a bunch of 2x2 patio tiles.
Okay.
And a rebuilt Primo that I rebuilt for him.
There you go.
Yeah, it was my buddy's. He bought a new one and asked me if I wanted it. I go, heck yeah.
Right.
And actually, the liners on those ultimately do go bad.
Sure.
Just like your big green egg.
Yep.
But that's just a replaceable part.
Right.
And sometimes it's covered under warranty.
Yeah, big green egg does. Yeah.
I got a new one for this one under warranty from Primo.
Right.
And so Alex... and my boys love to grill.
Sure.
And he is now going to have like a 12x12 concrete pad with a beautiful Primo sitting on it.
Yeah.
And then he can just sink his 4x4 poles in, build a few rafters, put a tin roof on it, and he'll have quite a cabana.
Yeah, right.
Out there in the woods of Manistee.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't spatchcocked a turkey before, look it up online. I won't dive into the recipes, but it's a great way, and it's much more, one, it cooks in about two-thirds of the time, and it's very, very moist.
Oh, it's so nice, and the skin, it turns out beautiful.
Right.
You know, it's funny you brought up John Adams, because...
I don't think I did I?
Kinda? Yeah, well...
We got him now, though.
The Adams family.
Right.
Well, you are famous for... bringing cobblers to events.
Right, yep.
And I'm a bit of a cobbler.
Right.
But
I saw your wood shack. You are a cobbler. That's a different kind of cobbler. But and I got to give my wife, Lisa, credit for all of the cobbler because she does really good work with that.
She already knows you love her. You quit sucking up on the air. The point is
I have to when the times, I don't get that many opportunities, Bob, right?
Okay.
But apple cobbler, you can look up the recipe, but done in a cast iron skillet makes a wonderful presentation. And then you can, and it holds heat. That cast iron holds heat, so the dessert stays warm. You pull it out of the oven.
And everybody's had it before.
Oh yeah.
But the point is, John Adams. That was his wife's go to for him.
Sure.
And that, you know, and the foods those people ate. When you think you go into a 1600s pub to look at the menu, you might think, oh God, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be liver pudding or something like that. No, it was like apple cobbler, chicken fricassee. These people knew how to cook. George Washington's wife was very fond of French foods. John Adams' wife, I don't know if he had one. I thought he was single. But
John's brother Sam made some
his
damn good
girlfriend.
Beer. So, yeah, it's all good, man. His girlfriend. Okay, so TJ, Thomas Jefferson, he went off the farm a little bit and went in the sea and made grilled oysters. Tell us about
those.
He
might have had a few girlfriends, too.
Right.
Which has happened before.
TJ's grilled oysters. Hit it, Bob.
You know, this looked unbelievably good, and I love to go out to the East Coast, and that's, of course, where these guys were getting their oysters. And if you're ever on Long Island, get the Long Island oyster. It'll be the most fantastic. I don't know. Conrad, do you like oysters?
No.
No?
No.
Does your wife?
No.
Okay.
That's why he doesn't ever get them.
That was a dud.
Right.
So anyway, a Long Island oyster is fantastic. It's almost like a scallop. It's white and firm, and it's got a beautiful texture. And of course, with oysters, sometimes you get a little sand, so you got to rinse them out. But this reminded me of escargot, which I love. Do you like escargot, Conrad? Are you a snail fan?
No.
Well, you're just strike
dragging the show
down.
He's
flat out, you know, land lubber.
Fritos. Give me something in a bag.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's going to call for butter, Parmesan and Reggiano cheese, quarter cup of chopped Italian parsley or whatever you've got in your garden, lemon juice, clove of garlic, finely minced, kosher salt, ground black pepper, and then 12 freshly shucked oysters. Why are they shucked, Jop says?
Because you want the half shell to create the little cup, and you want to get these things opened up so they're going to cook.
Yeah.
And they make a great presentation, too. So
they
those are the reasons that you shuck an oyster right there.
Yeah. They do, you know, and you're like the king of presentation.
Hey, man, eat with your eyes first every time.
And this is exactly one of those things you can make on your grill. And when your buddies come out and you open the lid and they see 3 dozen of these things sitting there smiling at them, I'm telling you, you're going to have friends that are going to help you mow your lawn next time.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be excited.
Yeah. They're an aphrodisiac, so be careful how many of them you feed.
Or stay home.
Right. Yeah.
But that's Thomas Jefferson's, one of his favorite foods.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Thomas Jefferson, he was the one that said, we can't have an income tax. And they were fighting. He said, you know, it's not in the Constitution. We can't do it. And he warned them all right then. He said, if you ever go past 0.5%, you'll have a revolt the likes of which you've never seen.
Mm-hmm. We're a bit by that, aren't we?
We are. Going to change.
Possibly. We have an election year. Lots of things change in election years, right? But so
it's a great year for change.
We've been all over the map and history book this show, but it is Independence Day. It's time for you to get out in your backyard and, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken. Those are all things that go on the grill that are super traditional, but just be careful. Make sure to cook things through. Make sure not to let your salads with mayonnaise sit out in the sun. Nobody wants to get sick on Independence Day because you didn't take care of your food properly. When you go to the park, if you've got one of those grills that stands on the post where you put charcoal in it, clean that grate or put some tinfoil on. I know Bob doesn't like to cook in tinfoil, but just be careful when you're out there because...
Well, you can't cook on butcher paper.
Right, exactly.
Tinfoil is good for cleaning the grate.
Right, yeah.
Wad it up.
Exactly.
So
get it
also,
hot.
You know, if you don't have a flagpole or a flag,
right,
you still got time to get one. There's a company also called flagshirts.com.
Yep.
If you want a nice shirt, go to flagshirts. This guy is 82 years old, a real patriot.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy Independence Day, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.